Everyone with a strong voice, I want you to say, live by faith. Here we go, 1, 2, 3. All right, so Romans 1 and 17 is our foundational text. This is our year of manifested faith. The Lord said what we have been believing for privately, he is going to produce and manifest publicly in our lives, that joy was going to be our strength, increase was going to be our portion, and no matter what comes or no matter what goes, we will boldly declare, I believe God. Everybody say, I believe God. All right, Romans 1 and 17 is our foundational text. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live, how, class?
By faith.
The just shall live by faith. So those of us who are just, who are declared right or righteous because of the blood of Jesus, and remember, it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so it is his righteousness that has made us, and because of that, we live by faith. Faith is not a spare tire. Faith is a way of life. Spare tire is something that you use in case of emergency, but faith is something that we don't use, you know, just in case emergency shows up. We live by faith, all right? The writer teaches us in 1 John 5 and 4 that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You got it? And so you have to understand the importance of learning faith, developing your faith, and using your faith so all the promises of God can come to pass in your life. Today's lesson is designed to strengthen you and encourage you to keep moving forward in faith, that regardless of obstacles, regardless of challenges, regardless of troubles, no matter what you go through, if you will use your faith, if you will hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering, Hebrews 10, you will find out he is faithful that promised. And so John 10 and 10 is a very familiar passage of scripture. It is one of the foundational verses for our ministry, John 10 and 10. And it's foundational because our whole vision is based off of the thief coming not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have, and that you might have it. All right. And our vision statement is pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. So we're going to point you to Jesus. We're going to give you the word. We're going to help you develop your faith. And as you take this word and apply it in your life and keep your heart right, because the condition of my heart determines the outcome of my faith, you will begin to see the promises of God come to pass in your life. It's important to understand, though, when the writer says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. Everybody say, when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. How do you know that? The scripture just told us that it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's an enemy out there. He's an old devil, and he goes as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. But you don't have to worry. All he can do is roar, because Jesus snatched out his teeth over 2,000 years ago on Calvary, and greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. We've got more power than the devil has every single day of our lives. The only power that the devil has in our lives is the power that we give him. So don't open doors to give the devil any power in your life. Stay focused, stay in faith, hold on this word, and watch what God does in your life. Give the Lord a big hand praise right there. Now, you have been designed by God and engineered by God to overcome every challenge that you face. You've got to understand that that is the way God designed us from the foundation of the earth, and that you can win with the hand that you've been dealt. All right. So no matter what, you know, no matter what the situation is, no matter what your hand looks like, you can win with the hand that you've been dealt. Everybody say, I can win with the hand I've been dealt. And it doesn't mean that it was fair or maybe not fair, or if this person wouldn't have done that. I get all that and I understand all that. But sometimes you're in a situation and you've got to just tell yourself, listen, it is what it is. So now what I'm going to do is trust God. I'm going to take this word. I'm going to apply it in my life. I'm going to use my faith, because the just shall live by faith, and I'm going to get the victory in life. And so how many points y'all think I have for you today? Three. You already know I've got three simple points to help push this lesson on living by faith. So we're going to jump right into it. Everybody say, number one, trust his word. Oh, that was kind of light. Let's try it again. Let's act like that didn't happen. You know how we used to have tapes, tape recorders back in the day, and you rewind your hair. So let's rewind, all right? And everybody repeat with me. Number one, trust his word. All right, good job. God's word must be the final authority in our lives. God's word has to be the final authority in our lives. And you have to have a discipline, but not only a discipline, a conviction that God's word is going to be the final authority in my life, that I'm going to take God's word, you got it, whether it's the Logos, you got it, or whether it's the Rhema, him speaking directly to me, and it is the way, it's how I live. I'm not moved by anything else. And, you know, because you got to understand, we live in a day, in a time where, you know, a culture is trying to get over into the church so that the church can live based on culture, but the church can't live based on culture. The church got to live based on the word of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, and I'm not being mean. I'm not going to get on some soapbox and because I don't fuss with people and that kind of thing, you know, but you just got to get to the point where, you know, I don't need to know what you think on TikTok or what you think on Instagram or what someone says because they got a title or they got some money. Has nothing to do with any of that. God's word has to be the final authority in my life. And so there's some things that I'm supposed to do and there's some things I'm not supposed to do. And I've got to guide and govern myself accordingly based on the word of God. Does that make sense? You know, and so it's just, you know, it's just real important on that. So I've got to trust his word because his word has to be the final authority in my life. It's what I live by. Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse says that God is not a man. Now, we could just stop and praise God right there that he's not a man, because man will lie to you. Man will change their mind. Man will say one thing one day and the other. But he is not a man that he should, nor the son of man that he should. All right, the writer says, has he said it and shall he not do it? He says, has he spoken and will he not make it good? And he's pressing the point that you've got to understand, you know, the character of God and who God is, that he is not a man that should lie. He's nor the son of man that should repent. He doesn't change. He doesn't say one thing one minute and then change and say something the next. God is not a gossip. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't get caught up in a situation. He doesn't need to get caught up in. God doesn't do all those things. And so you've got to understand, according to Numbers 23 and 19, that God's word is not sometimes good. God's word is always good, and you can always count on God's word. So if I go whether I go to Peter or I go to Isaiah, and the Bible teaches that Jesus took 39 stripes, and by those stripes, the Bible says we are already healed, right? Well, I take the word of God for face value in my life, regardless of anything I may be feeling in my body, regardless of a report from the doctor. I'm not denying the doctor. You got it? I'm not denying a feeling. Faith doesn't deny. It just overlooks it based on truth, all right? What is truth? Truth is the word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so faith doesn't deny, it overlooks, saying, yeah, there might be something that's going on in my body. There might be a report where the doctor says he saw something, but I'm here to tell you right now, even before I get into that doctor's office, that the healing virtue of Jesus is flowing through my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. That I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. So if there's anything in my body that ought not be there, it's got to die, dry up, disintegrate, leave, and never return. Because, watch this, because when Jesus said it was finished, it was already done. My salvation, my healing, my provision, everything, it was already done. And now I have to use my faith to receive what he has already done for me. Does that make sense? Hebrews 6:13. I love this. I love the scripture. I love the word of God. And I find myself going down different rabbit trails when I'm studying just because I love it. And it says, when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, what did he do, class? He looked around, didn't see anybody greater. Come on, somebody. Because back in the day, what they would do is, I'm going ahead of myself. So let me keep reading, then I'll give you my commentary. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently done what? Endured, what happened? He obtained the promise. So he had to go through some things. You and I in life are going to have to go through some things, but if we will patiently endure, we will see the promise show up in our lives. Verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them to end all strife. All right? Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Immutable means that he cannot change. All right? So the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by it two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So it's impossible for him to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Okay, so now let's break this down. So the Bible says, you know, I'm just going to break it down James MacGyver style. Is that all right? So God, so you got, let's start with Abraham. He wasn't Abraham. He was Abram at the beginning, right? You got it? And so he's Abram. God shows up. You know, he says, listen, I want you to leave your kinfolk. I want you to leave this place, and I'm going to send you someplace that you don't even, you don't know. There's a scripture that teaches us that to help Abram at the time see and understand what God was trying to do in his life, God even gave him a visual. He says, Abraham, look at the stars and count the stars. If you'll be able to number them, so shall your seed be. So God used the stars as a visual booster to help Abraham understand what his life was going to look like. All right. Sometimes in life, when things get rough and things get tough, you've got to learn how to leave the discomfort of your present and visit your future on the canvas of your imagination of what your life is going to be like. Sometimes you got to open your mouth and say, Father, I thank you. It's not going to always be like this. I see better days, days of peace and days of joy and days of prosperity and days of nothing missing and nothing lacking and nothing broken in my life. So God said, man, I want Abraham to understand that I'm going to do this for him. So he made an oath. He looks around. I'm getting excited. Let me calm down. He looks around. And because he could see nobody else greater around him to swear by, the Bible said he swore by himself. And he said, in essence, he said, Abraham, I swear I'm going to bless you. I swear I'm going to multiply you. I swear I'm going to make your name great. And then the writer, as we're going down in verse 16, what he was saying about ceases all strife is that anytime you've got a group of guys back then that were standing around and they were trying to explain something, and maybe some of the guys didn't believe it, they would say, I swear based on something that was greater, and then all strife ceased and they believed him. So what God had to do was look around, and there was nobody else greater, so he made an oath based on who he was, because he knew he was unchangeable. So the Bible says two immutable things, and I always laugh whenever I'm starting to read commentary and just listen to preachers preach this, because when they start talking about two immutable things, they start going all over scripture trying to find the two immutable things, and I'm like, it's right there in the Word of God. So in verse 13, the two immutable things are right there. What is it that God did twice or two different times, or what were the two things that made it where he was immutable or unchangeable? Well, let's read it. I want y'all to help me. Are y'all ready? Well, y'all didn't sound ready. Y'all ready? All right. Verse 13. All right. Now, all right. So follow me. When God made a what? That's number one. Because God's word is not sometimes good. It's always good. And his word cannot change. You got it. He made a promise to Abraham but watch this, because he could swear. Or make an oath. You got it. If it's something, you know, it depends on how you want to use it. That's KJV. So, you know, that's original text. Sometimes a sanctified for a reason. We won't be swearing. You understand? Well, that's not cussing. You got it. That's a little different. And just by the way, Christians ain't supposed to cuss. Okay. All right. See, I didn't get a lot of amens out of that one. It's okay. Yeah. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But anyways, that's another lesson for another time. All right. All right. And so because he made a promise and he made an oath, those were two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Why? That when God promises you something and makes an oath, you have a strong consolation. Verse 18 says, so he says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Because we have God's word, we have hope. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we have hope. All right. So you've got to understand that God's word is always good. If God said it, it's already good. If God promised it, it's already secure. And if God spoke it, heaven has already signed off on it. So you got to understand the importance of trusting God. See, in life, you're going to be ruled either by external circumstances or eternal concepts. Everybody say external circumstances. Now say eternal concepts. So your life is going to be ruled by one or the other. External circumstances is by what you see in the sense realm. You got it? And too many people, I believe it once I see it. Faith doesn't work like that. You got it? Faith doesn't work like that. So external circumstances, or you could be ruled by eternal concepts, which is by the revelation that we have of the word of God. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth in his second letter, and he says, while we look, oh my goodness, come on class, while we look at the things, did you eat your Wheaties this morning? How many remember the Wheaties commercial? You about to show your age. You got it? Now, you got to eat your Wheaties and you got to drink Gatorade. Because if you drink Gatorade, you can fly like Mike. Y'all don't remember Be Like Mike? Sometimes I dream that he is me. Y'all don't remember that? Dream I move. Dream I like Mike. If I could be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. All right. So I'm just wondering if y'all ate your Wheaties or drank your Gatorade this morning. All right, here we go. All right, we're going to start at the top, verse 18. All right. While we look, there you go, at the things which are, but the things which are. So he says, I can't be worried about the there's two worlds, all right? There's a natural physical world that we live in that is real. But then there's also a spiritual world, you got it, that is just as real. And if you ask me, it's realer, if that's a word, because the natural world is dependent on the spiritual world. You got it? You listen, anything that I get over in this natural world is because it happened over in the spirit realm. And so I've got to understand, and that is why Paul says, we don't worry about the things which are seen. He said, you worrying about the wrong world. He said, look at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are, the things which are seen are, what's that mean? Subject to change. But the things which are not seen are, yeah, which are everlasting. So Paul here is teaching to stay focused on what really matters. So as I'm walking by faith and as I'm trusting God, my faith can't be based on emotions, all right? My faith has to be based on the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So my faith is based on the revelation of Scripture and not the verification of senses. Because if I stay over in the realm of emotions and the verification of senses, then what's going to happen is my emotions can get out of check. I'll say something wrong. You got it, and then I'll end up doing something wrong. But if I always stay on the spirit side, if I'm ever heading to do something wrong, how many the Holy Spirit would be like, I wouldn't go there if I was you. I wouldn't say that if I was you. So you got to make sure that you're focusing on the right world. All right? So our faith, go with me to Matthew 16, is based on the revelation of Scripture and not the verification of senses. All right? Let me break this down. Are y'all getting anything out of this? When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus talks to his disciples and says, what's the word on the street? Verse 14. And they said, well, Jesus, the word on the street is that you're John the Baptist, or that you're Elijah, or Elias, or the same thing, or Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, okay, that's good. You got it. He says, but who do you say that I am? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not so much worried about anybody on the outside of this room who doesn't know me, who's got something to say. I want to know the people around me, how they feel. And so he says, who do you say that I am? And verse 16 says, Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus got happy. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. He said, you ain't hanging over in the natural world. He said, you over there in the spirit realm. He said, because my Father, he said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus says, and I say also, also unto thee. He says, just like you got a revelation, Peter, I got a revelation. Just like you know who I am, I know who you are. And he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock of revelation, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many know that the devil cannot come against the church? He can try, but he can't prevail. Weapons may form, but they don't prosper. You might bend, but you won't break, right? So you got to understand. It doesn't matter. You know, people mocking the church nowadays. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can mock the church. You can say what you want. You can say Jesus ain't real. You can say God ain't true. You say, I ain't going to church like everybody else. You can say what you want. But there's going to come a time where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father, whether it be now or whether it be later. And if I was you, I'd make sure it was now. You got it. Yeah, I know there's some crazy stuff going on in the church, but it doesn't take, not this church, but you know, the body of Christ at large, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there are a lot of amazing, great churches with great pastors who are doing great things for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? All right. So he says, verse 19, when you get this revelation, it's going to build you up. You got it. And the devil can't come against you because you are the church. All right. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What's that, Pastor? Authority and ability. So he's going to give us authority and ability that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And so what that means is whatever you declare to be lawful in the earth is what has to already be lawful in heaven, and whatever you declare to be unlawful in the earth has to already be unlawful in heaven. That helps you as it relates to how you pray and how you confess. That helps you as it relates to what you receive. You got it? Because how many know the enemy will try to give you something that don't belong to you? You got it? He'll try to give you anxiety. He'll try to give you fear. He'll try to give you depression. He'll try to give you lack. But that's not your portion. It's not part of the covenant that Jesus has already engraved for you in your life. You got it? So when the enemy tries to bring those things to you, you say, oh, no. You got to take that back. That's not my portion, because watch this, it is unlawful in heaven to have lack and fear and anxiety. But let me tell you what is lawful. You got it? Because as it is in heaven, shall it be in earth. Peace is lawful, and joy is lawful, and increase is lawful, and healing is lawful. And those are the things that we accept by faith and declare over our lives. Does that make sense? All right. See, if the enemy can keep you in the realm of reasoning, he will defeat you again and again and again. If you can ever get him over in the realm of faith, you will defeat him again and again and again. There's a battle that is constantly taking place. You got it? And the battle takes place in our mind. The enemy shoots what we call fiery darts, which are negative thoughts to try to make you change your mind about God and his word, to try to make you back up in faith, to say it ain't going to work, to try to make you think that you're going to have to get cancer or leukemia and die. But let every man be a lie and let God be true. At some point, we're going to have to take the word of God for face value, and no matter what comes or no matter what goes, stand up and boldly declare, I believe God. Yes, I saw the report, but I believe God. Yes, there's some pain in my body, but I believe God, because I understand that my situation won't change the word, but the word of God will change my situation. And to the degree I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. The key is understanding that his word will not return to him void. All right. Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Everybody say, I believe God. If I will believe and confess my healing, there is enough power in his word to bring it to pass. If I will believe and confess my joy and my increase, there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. If I will believe and confess open doors and favor, there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. I don't have to do anything crazy. I don't have to do cartwheels. You understand? All I got to do is trust God's word, and I'll see it come to pass in my life. All right? So number one, we said, was to trust his word. Everybody say number two. Trust his power. That's good. Trust his power. Faith is not just believing what God says. It's also trusting what he can do. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do, all right? So he's able to do some things. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, all right? According to the power that worketh in us, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that's already on the inside of us, right? So whenever we step out on faith, we're never stepping out on our own ability. We're stepping out on his ability, even though we're not able. How many know he is? All right? And so I got to learn to do my part. And if I do my part, he'll do his part, right? So the writer says, exceeding abundantly above all. Exceeding abundantly above all. Exceeding means beyond measure. Abundantly means overflow or overflowing. Above all means that there's no ceiling or no cap on what God can do in your life. So God's power outruns our expectations. And if you can imagine it, God can exceed it. Does that make sense? Yeah, everybody say, if I can imagine it, God can exceed it. Now let's work on the part where it says according to the power, according to the power. It says according to the power that worketh within us. So faith isn't waiting on power. Faith recognizes that the power is already present. Does that make sense? Because the power is already there, all right? So you're not praying for power. You're learning how to trust what's already on the inside of you. A few weeks ago, I was just at home, and I was doing my prayer and my meditation and those kind of things. And I just really started thinking about faith and how faith works and those kind of things. And I'm just a student of the Word of God, and then I'm also a student of human behavior. I'd like to see what people do and kind of understand and try to figure things out. And the Lord was saying, son, a lot of times the reason that faith doesn't work for my people is because they think that they're trying to use their faith to make me make something happen when I've already made it happen. He said they have to use their faith to receive the finished work that I've already done for them. So what happens is when we get in faith, let's just use for healing. We get in faith for healing. Do you know that God doesn't have to go and do anything for your healing to manifest in your life? Because Jesus already bore our sickness and infirmity on the tree, and by his stripes you're not going to be healed. You are already healed. So faith isn't to make God go and, you know, do some stuff to make me right. Faith says now I receive the healing virtue of Jesus flowing through my body because it's a finished work and it's done in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? I receive the wisdom I need. I receive the joy I need. I receive the strength I need. All right. So number one, trust his word. Number two, trust his power. Number three. Oh, good job. Good. Trust his ability to finish. All right. I got 34 seconds. All right. Y'all have been a good class, but we about to go home. We ain't got to go home, but you got to go somewhere. Amen. All right. All right, trust his ability to finish. Philippians 1 and 6. Okay, Court, I think this is a good place for us to go home. Philippians 1 and 6. What is that second word? Being
confident.
Being confident. Being confident. Do you know what confident means?
Confident.
That's what it means. Yeah, anytime you come to WLCC, you're going to find out it's always an open book test. I love that. Oh, that's nice and metacritical right there. That's real good, Court. No, I need you to look at Philippians 1, and I'm going to go home. I know I just ran out of time. It's early. It's 12:20. We're going to get out in about 3 minutes. But I need you to understand this scripture. And I need you to think about it in times where maybe things seem a little tipsy-turvy, or times where you're not really sure, you know, exactly what the future holds. We know what the future holds because Jesus is there. You got it. But you don't know exactly how it's going, you know, how's it going to fall apart, and how's it going to open up for me. And then I've got this situation I'm dealing with, and I got that situation I'm dealing with, and I got this, and I got that, and I got this. But you also got the word. And Philippians 1 and 6 says, you got to be confident of this, that if you're not confident in anything else, and you should be confident in his word, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That what God started in you, God is going to finish in you. That God did not bring you this far just to leave you. That his strength is there for you. His grace is there for you. His ability is there for you. His power is there for you. His anointing is there for you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you got to be confident in this. That the reason I can't give up is because God's not done with me yet. And what God started, he's going to finish it. But Pastor, they laying off. Don't worry about it. What God started in you, he's going to finish. Well, what if I'm in that group that gets laid off? Now, I don't pray that it is, but if it happens, I believe God. And I believe that if one door closes, God already knew that with his omniscience, knew that door was going to close. And he has already got another door open for you because he already declared your end from your beginning and put everything in your life you would ever need. He knew the decisions that you would make based on the knowledge he had of the decisions you would make. God has already mapped your life. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestine. And he destined you for greatness. He destined you to make an impact in people's lives in an amazing way. So we're not going to work just to get paid, just to go home, just to do the dishes and make the kids' meal and put the kids to bed so we can wake up and go. No. We were created to be on this earth, number one, to glorify God. We were created to be on this earth to impact people's lives in an amazing way. We were created on this earth to be to salt and to be light, to be a city that's on a hill. That if I walk into a room and it seems like everybody's down and depressed, just because I'm a carrier of the anointing of God and the presence of God, when I go into that room has to lift up because I brought Jesus with me. So I know sometimes it gets tough and sometimes it gets rough, but hang in there. I know sometimes you don't know how, but just make sure you know who. That God never starts what he doesn't intend to finish. Faith can rest because God finishes. Faith can rest because God finishes. You want me to give you one more story? You want me to close? What you want? Story close. Okay, real quick. My father, Bishop McIver, when I was a little boy, he would teach about Jesus was getting in the boat. Jesus says, "Let us go over to the other side." I submit to you, as soon as Jesus got in the boat, said, "Let us go over to the other side," he goes to sleep. Jesus in his mind says, "We are going to the other side." Storm comes. The winds begin to blow. Everything gets contrary. And then all of a sudden, the disciples for a moment must have forgot who they had in the boat with them. And instead of focusing on Jesus, they focus on the winds and the waves and all that. And they get upset with Jesus. And they said, "Don't you care? Jesus gets up, he handles what he handles and those kind of things, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but what my father had taught us years ago, he said, Jesus could go to sleep. He said, and what you call that is the rest, R-E-S-T, of faith. That when you get in faith, you can rest knowing that God has got everything under control, that he's going to perfect everything that concerns you, that he's going to take care of you, that he's not going to let you down, that he's not going to break your heart, that God is going to take care of you because you're his child and you belong to Jesus. And you got to get it made up in your mind that, man, I'm going to rest in faith. And so faith rests because God finishes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time around your word with these, your precious people. And I thank you for the word that you've given us. And I bind the hand of the enemy that would try to steal the seed that's been sown into the life of the believer today. And Father, I thank you that we make a commitment that we are going to trust your word. Father, we are going to trust your power and we're going to trust your ability to finish in our lives. That no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And we are going to see your goodness in our lives. We're going to see your goodness in our marriages. We're going to see your goodness in our families, in our children, in our grandchildren, in our great-grandchildren. We're going to see your goodness in our bank accounts. We're going to see your goodness in our careers and on our jobs. We declare in the name of Jesus that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are ahead of us. We declare we haven't seen anything yet, that our eyes have not seen, neither have our ears heard, neither has it entered into our hearts all the amazing things you have for us. But day by day, your Holy Spirit is revealing them to us. And we are open and we are ready because this is our year of manifested faith. Joy is our strength. Increase is our portion. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise all over the building.